want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
WEBR-FM Fairfax.
A service of Fairfax Public Access and Cox Communications.
94.5 Cable FM.
Cox Cable Channel 37.
Comcast Cable Channel 4.4.4.
And broadcast into the world in real audio at FCAC.org.
WEBR-FM Fairfax.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory common ownership development. It is broadcast live from WEBR Fairfax, Virginia. Join us as we explore the world of common ownership development, the fastest growing form of residential development in America today. This housing concept includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes that are part of a mandatory homeowners association. Unfortunately, this type of housing is not as utopian as its advocates would have us believe. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means giving up part of the American dream. It means giving up constitutional rights and control over one's most valuable asset, one's home. Living in a mandatory homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WEBR, Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and on the Commons with us today, I'm really pleased, thrilled, delighted, and very happy to have my old friend Jan Bergman back with us. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, and I'm happy to be with you again. Thank you.
Jan, there's been a lot going on in Florida. I mean, there's a lot going on all over the country, but there's a lot going on in Florida. You want to get us caught up and bring us up to date on what's happening?
Well, I think most people know we had the 2006 legislative session, and the result, exactly like last year, the service providers, meaning attorneys, zero, and the owners, zero. We're used to that in the meanwhile because nothing works, and we obviously can't find common ground to get something together which would fit both parties.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, what the industry wants is not good for the homeowners. And as long as there's a Jan Bergman in play saying, hey, wait a minute, guys, please stop that, you know, they get away with it. And in states where there is no Jan Bergman, they get away with it. And but you've been keeping very close tabs on what they're doing, and you're doing a great job.
Well, we're trying. It is not easy, and it is not easy especially because many of the home and condo owners who are complaining about the problems they're facing in their associations are more or less unwilling to participate in changing it, making the necessary reforms, contacting their legislators. You know, watching American Idol in the evening on TV doesn't really change the situation in your association. And I think there's something more important than watch a reality show if your money gets wasted by incompetent board members, attorneys, and managers who are just after that. So maybe sometimes a little hour here and a little hour there could help save their money if they would participate.
You know, we've been talking about this a lot, Jan, and one of the things that absolutely fascinates me is the fact that so many people just don't seem to understand. I mean, I talked to Tom DeWeese the other day. He's president of American Policy Center in Virginia, and he does sort of property rights in a much greater, broader context. And trying to get people energized, get them off their rear ends, and get them involved in protecting their rights is just unbelievable. It's just not happening. What's the deal?
Yeah, well, but people have to understand one thing. When people buy their homes and condos, they want to buy a home. They don't anticipate to buy into association politics, meaning dealing with the problems of daily life in an association. And we had the best example here. There was a bill running, which was first a very good bill, which would have helped to the dissolution of condominiums after a hurricane, but then changed into a developer-friendly bill where more or less a small majority could dissolve the condominium and would have left people homeless. More or less it was an eminent domain bill for condominiums. But the people don't understand it. And if you talk with them, there will be town hall meetings all over Florida in this regard. When you talk to the people, they tell you, yeah, but that's not my problem. It can be yours because you could be the next target of developers who want the land under your condominium, who want to tear down your condominium, and you're homeless. They don't understand it. And they look at you like deer in the headlight when you try to explain it to them. See, these are politics, and most people are not interested. They want to keep their home, they want to have a peaceful home, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree with you, and this is where the carefree living comes in. Everybody says, gee whiz, we need, you know, we want carefree living, that's why we buy into a condominium, and then you end up having to go to meetings, you end up having to look into this, you end up having to get politically active just to protect your rights.
Well, and you have a hard time protecting your rights. And you know, anybody who tells you that association living is carefree living is either living on a different planet or he loves the Brothers Grimm or something like that.
Well, it's the people who have a lot to gain by stuffing more and more people into associations that say that. I mean, these are the glossy ads, and these are the developers who say, hey, you know, come on in, folks. It's carefree living. Look at these beautiful pictures. Look at the gorgeous sunset in the background. Look at the view of the ocean.
What?
You know, you've got, you know, a high-rise up in the sky, and it's carefree living.
Yeah, tell that to people whose homes got damaged by hurricanes, who are now, we're already in the next hurricane season, and their homes are still not repaired. People live elsewhere because their homes are not livable. Is that carefree? I don't think so. They have more headaches than you can ever imagine, believe me.
Oh, I can believe that. I understand and I know that. What is going on? I mean, why are these buildings not being repaired? Is there no insurance? Is there no money? What's the problem, Jan?
No, I think one of the main problems are actually the statutes regulating the condominiums and the problem that people don't understand who is responsible for repairing what. From what I hear is that the insurance companies, okay, after lengthy debates and arguments and so on, but they in the end were willing to pay and they paid and so on. But then here comes the problem that first of all, most condominiums, for example, had very high deductibles. On the other hand, you have a lot of elderly living here in Florida, who have a hard time paying a special assessment out of nowhere. And then came the argument, yeah, who is repairing what wall? You know, we have seen lawsuits, we have seen litigation coming up where the money which was paid for repair was used for litigation. Because the argument goes, yo, this is the inside drywall of the condominium. Oh, that's the owner's responsibility. Oh, no. It's common element. You know, according to the statutes, it's common element. You know, we had in one case, actually, four attorneys in one condominium with four different opinions, and the board was sitting there and didn't know what to do anymore at all.
Oh, so that's what... So they've been spending their time arguing about who's going to fix what?
Right.
Instead of fixing it?
Right. And then you get the problem that you have incompetent boards and managers who hire contractors without a license, don't even check, then the work gets stopped, then the condominium association complains that somebody complains that they hired a contractor without a license. We have one case here in Florida where a condo owner found out that the contractor hired had no license to do the job. He complained to the board. The board said, shut up. We don't want to hear it. The guy went to the building department of the county, checked it. No, that person didn't have a license to do the work and didn't even ask for a building permit. So here came the county and shut down the work. They put a stop work order at the door. Guess what? As soon as they were gone, the manager and the president tore down the notice. So the work continued. Guy called again, said, hey, look here, people, they're still working. So they came again. To my knowledge, they fined the manager and the president for taking off the notice, I think each $500.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and said, stop working again. Guess what happened?
They did it again, huh?
No, the attorney of the board sued the condo owner for interfering with the work.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. And then added slander and all kinds of other neat things. I mean, it's, in my opinion, clearly a frivolous lawsuit, but this attorney is known for these shenanigans. And, you know, but imagine that.
So wait a minute. So what, has this gone to court yet? Or is this just pure harassment?
No, it's just recently filed. It is in court filed. I have the lawsuit, actually. I don't know if I was supposed to laugh or to cry. I mean, honestly, I mean, it was plainly ridiculous.
We're talking to Jan Bergman. He's president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. Jan, this is about one of the most ridiculous stories I've heard in a long time.
Well, I tell you one thing. I could add a few more, but I...
Go ahead. What's that time?
We only have an hour, and we have a lot to talk about. But I think this was just an example why repairs take a hell lot longer than they should.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what a judge is going to say. You go into court, and are you going to do this with a straight face? My guess is what's going to happen, Jan, is they're going to back out and they're going to non-suit it right at the very last minute. And what they're trying to do is scare the homeowner. And these are the tactics they use. But what they'll do is it'll cost the association or the homeowner all kinds of money. The attorney gets richer.
Right.
And what they do is they put the fear of God into everyone else. Don't mess with us because this, you know, you'll be next.
Yeah, and that is exactly what it is. I call it an intimidation lawsuit because it has no other reason but to intimidate the homeowner or the condo owner to make him back off. You know, we withdraw the lawsuit if you shut up in the future.
Well, I hope the homeowner can say, look, you may not non-suit it. We're going to go to court, and I'm going to cross-sue you, the attorney, for the following, and just really go after them. And maybe with some judges with some backbone, maybe something will happen.
Actually, that is the case. The homeowner hired a very well-known attorney, and they will go for it. Because they are sick and tired of being treated like children. If you don't shut up, we put you in the corner to cry. That's not the way it works in daily life.
Well, good. Yeah, keep us posted on that. Maybe we'll do a show. Because, you know, this happens so many times, Jan, and I'm sure you get the same calls. I get calls from people, and, you know, what do I do? The association sued me. The attorney's done this. We'll do that. And you go through this whole long rigmarole. They get to court, and then the association says, oh, we're going to non-suit this. We're moving on. We don't really want to go forward with this case.
Right. And I mean, that happens all the time, and it just costs homeowners money. You know, we had just last week the case where a board sued a homeowner who had lettering on his Hummer for parking it in his driveway. They considered it a commercial vehicle. Well, they lost.
Good.
But not so good, because the homeowner got $57,000 worth of legal fees from the association And since the association has to pay its own attorney on top of it, more or less the homeowners are out of $100,000. And you know, for such a lawsuit, that is ridiculous, because it's a no-win lawsuit, because even if the association would have won, what would have been achieved? Absolutely nothing. And that at the tune of $100,000, I don't think so. This has to stop.
But you know what, Jan, maybe this is what's, you know, if the homeowners start getting special assessment bills to pay for legal, you know, legal suits that are this hideous, then, you know, if they don't want to pay it, they'd better get active. You know, there's something's got to happen at some point.
Yeah, but you know what they're doing?
What?
They're using reserve funds to pay for it and don't let the owners know. We have two cases where the board decided that they, you know, they didn't want to levy special assessments for the attorney's fees, so they just grabbed reserve funds, which is illegal. But to do something about it, you would have to file another lawsuit again, you know, costing more money.
You know, one of the bills, or I guess proposed ideas that Julio had that did not make it, unfortunately, was to use some of the fund that's collected for condo owners to train law enforcement to come in and go after things like this. I mean, clearly this would be a violation of the law. You are legally not allowed to use reserve funds for anything other than the reserves. And when they're going in and using them to pay attorneys to harass one of their own, clearly this would be one of the applications of that law, wouldn't it?
Only partially. I mean, you know, to tell you the truth, this would be one of our smaller complaints. We have much, much bigger fish to fry. We have fish to fry when board members embezzle $360,000 and divide them among each other, and nobody wants to do anything. If management companies run association, put in boards which are not even owners, they're on their payroll and then making bogus contracts and making lots of money, you wouldn't believe some of the things which slowly but surely come to light. It is amazing, you know, it's like you opened a can of worms. It is getting worse and worse.
What? Wow. Yeah, see, there needs to be some kind of protection for the owners on this.
We are working on it. Even if the governor vetoed the $100,000 for the pilot program, we are working on some other openings which will achieve the same thing.
What can the listeners do to help something along those lines come about? Because this is, first of all, I object, and you know this, and I've said it many times, I object to the homeowners having to pay an additional fee. But when that money is collected and it's used for other things, and their rights and their interests are not protected, and there's no enforcement of the laws, and there's no adult supervision, and especially in a place like Florida where you have so many retirees, it's easy pickings.
Yeah, and you know, it's the problem was for many years, they took the $4 from the condo owners, but didn't do anything for them, and the next year, the money collected was used for the general tax fund. You know, it took a lot of shaking and rattling and rolling here before this money collected from the condo owners was finally used for the purpose intended, and it still is not all used for that purpose. You know, that is the problem. You know, if you charge these people specific money, like the $4 here in Florida, you have to make sure that this money is used for the purpose it was collected for.
You know, it's another means for the government to get into your pocket, and they're never going to be happy. In Virginia, for instance, they've had this management information fund for years and years and years. They've never done anything with it except allow the industry to come in and use the money to promote their own projects and their own little pet projects that they want on the advisory board is made up of industry members. Now they want to double that. So now they're coming up with a whole new way of collecting even more money. It's, you know, it's like you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, they'll keep taking, they'll keep taking. The thing is, you've got to put a stop to it right from the beginning and say no more. You know, here's what's happening. You need to do something about it. I don't buy into the fact that there's no money to do it. There's enough money there.
Well, there's, first of all, there's plenty of money there. I mean, Florida explodes with property taxes.
That's right.
Some of the counties even already are willing to lower their tax index because they get so much. But to protect the people against fraud and scams, obviously, there is no money. You know, I mean, see, we have here this example. The Department of Business and Professional Regulation, which more or less, it's not one of professional regulation. I always have already asked legislators if they shouldn't consider renaming that agency and making it the Department of Business and Professional Protection.
Yeah,
because
I saw that.
That is what they're doing. They protect them. You know, they know there are clear violations, and I mean clear, they can't be clearer. It's obvious. They don't even hide it. And what happens? The department writes them a warning letter and writes them another warning letter. And the association and managers laugh about it. They know there is not more forthcoming, so they use it as wallpaper or whatever and do what they want anyway. You know, the best law is moot if there is no enforcement.
I agree.
You know, if I pass a bill tomorrow which takes prison sentences away from bank robbers, tomorrow morning you have more bank robbers in your banks and customers.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, the Department of Business and Professional Protections,
yeah,
you want to go with that one?
Yeah,
okay.
I rather want to go with that one.
I like it. So it's the DBPP.
Yes.
The DBPP. You know, there's been a lot of problems there, and one of the most recent things that happened was that your beloved ombudsman was fired.
Because of them.
Because of them. And we had Virgil Rizzo on. And he seems, I mean, I've never met Virgil, but the few times I've spoken to him, he seems like a really nice guy. He seems like a very caring guy. And it sounds like he was just not willing to play politics as usual, which is why he got ousted, right?
That is exactly it. You have to realize one thing. We got last year a new appointee as a secretary of the DBPR, named Simone Masterler. She had, from day one, nothing better to do than hide every shortcoming of the agency. She never, ever even attempted to improve the problems which were pointed out by OPAGA in the big report the year before.
What is OPAGA?
OPAGA is the Senate watchdog here in Florida.
Okay.
They do analysis of agencies, laws, and so on. The best thing to describe them, they're the Senate watchdog.
Okay, that sounds good.
And they put out a long report after long investigations, and they said, look, this can't go on. There are too many problems. Something needs to be done. So when Virgil filed his quarterly reports, which he was obligated to do so by the legislator because it's part of the Florida statute that he files these reports, he said what was said by everybody. They are not doing the job, and a lot of the problems condo owners in Florida are facing are caused by the ineffectiveness of this department. Well, instead of trying to do something about it and make it and improve the situation, she wanted everybody to shut up. And there was a big discussion one time in the office, and she more or less told him, if you don't shut up, I'll be after you.
Oh, geez.
And Virgil is not the type to shut up. And he is a dedicated person, and he thought that he was put in there by the legislator not to shut up. Because why spending more money on another guy to shut up? We already have plenty of them here in Florida.
That's a good way to put it, Jan. I like that.
Yeah, well, just, you know, even here in Florida, we can't always beat around the bush. You know, I hope you understand that.
I like not beating around the bush.
Okay. And, see, the reasons given in the end were pretty bogus, you know, for his firing. In my opinion, and I know a lot more what happened behind the scenes, it was clearly done to shut him up and to protect the people in the DBPR who were not doing their job. And it was easier to fire him than to do something about the problems in that department. That is clearly my opinion. And, you know, in some of the newspapers we saw reports about him not doing his job and things like that. I think some department people went overboard, slandered him, and honestly, if I would have been him, I would might have taken legal action against them, because that was not right, and they made enough mistakes. They should have shut up and said, okay, it's done, thank you very much.
You know, this is getting to be a habit with them, because they fired other people in the past. One of them is Bill Reeves. He's an attorney in Florida. You know, I'm pre-recording this show, and I've already done one with Bill Reeves that you'll probably hear before you hear this one. But, you know, there's a whole history with this particular agency in firing people who seem to be interested in doing the job that they were hired to do.
Yeah, well, I sometimes get the feeling they feel they're hired to shut up and cover up the problems to make everybody look good.
But don't they, I mean, who do they answer to, Jan?
Well, the secretary answers to the governor.
And if you're the governor's pet, and I guess, so he put in his friend and away we go.
Well, I mean, you know, Governor Bush was now here nearly 8 years. In that time, we saw 5 secretaries come and go.
In 8 years?
In 8 years.
Okay.
And all with, yeah, let's say, when they went, not very nice words of departure. They all officially resigned, but you know what that means. And nothing was ever done to improve the situation. I mean, see, the DBPR is not only regulating condos. They have a lot of other things to do as well. And the funny thing is, nothing works. You know, you can read nearly once a week in any Florida newspaper a big report that somebody is complaining that the DBPR is not doing the job. But I don't know for what reason. Don't ask. So far, the governor has clearly failed to put somebody in place of the secretary who is willing to clean out the stable, start fresh, and make this agency work.
Well, isn't this a black eye on the administration? I mean,
it always was.
You've got this huge department that's supposed to be doing a job that's not doing the job, that's constantly in the news, and all you do is just flip one secretary for another secretary and nothing ever changes.
Well, see, you know, everybody who knows business knows if a business doesn't work, it's not necessarily the CEO or here called the secretary. You know, that is only the person who is at the helm. But that person can't do anything if the people who are the executives, you know, the department heads, the division heads, the people who have certain responsibilities, if they're not doing the job, the whole department will never work. You can put the best secretary on top of it. If his guys don't do the job, you will never see a job done. And all secretaries failed to replace the people who are known to not do the job. We have the same people sitting there years and years, and nothing is done. They're the same. The people who do the work are the same, meaning the work is not getting done. So not necessarily the secretary is always to blame. I blame the secretaries for not doing their job right by not firing the incompetent people who have proven to be incompetent.
But they're the ones who are ultimately responsible for the success of the department.
Right.
And they're not, and they're falling on the job.
Right, but see, if they're unwilling to do anything and from day one more or less do nothing else but claiming, oh, everything is fine and dandy, it works, and, oh, yeah, we have so many statistics to prove it, you know, then the statistics are a little, made up to fit, and everything looks fine. That doesn't work. The people are unhappy. I get a day 30, 50 emails telling me, oh, we had problems with the DVPR. What can we do? You know, if they asked me, I said, you know, you have to file with the DVPR. You know, oh, no, don't waste my time and my money.
Don't waste my time and money. We're going to take a short break. We're talking to Jan Bergman. He's president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. Jan, give us your website address. You've got a tremendous website with a lot of really wonderful information on it.
The website address is www.ccfj.net. CCFJ, like Caesar, Fred, and Joe.
Caesar, Fred, and Joe. With that, we'll be right back. Don't go away. Much more coming up with Jan Bergman. Let's see if I can get this. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. You're on the Commons with us today. We have Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. Jan, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you, and it's always fun.
It's always fun. You've had a busy year. You've had a lot of bills that not all of them have made it through. We talked a little bit about one of them. You want to tell us what's been going on in terms of the legislative action in Florida this year?
More or less, like we already said, no important association bill passed. Either they got killed during the legislative session, all the last two, which were actually real bad service provider bills, attorney bills, were finally vetoed by the governor on our request. And we are happy that they didn't pass, because it seems pretty obvious that especially the attorneys are unhappy with some of the reforms the HOA task force created by Governor Bush in 2003 and 4, we created some new provisions, and they are absolutely unhappy because one of them took away a big cash cow for attorneys. In former times here in Florida, an association was able to enforce their fines by filing for liens and foreclosures for unpaid money for fines. 2004 legislation scratched that from the ticket, and the attorneys and some of the power-hungry board members still haven't swallowed that kangaroo courts can't lien and foreclose for fines anymore. We saw another desperate attempt this year to reinstate this, but it failed.
If you can't foreclose to collect fines, can you foreclose to collect legal fees?
No, you can't foreclose to collect legal fees. You can only foreclose for unpaid dues, meaning dues and special assessments, and special assessments which are levied against the whole membership. You know, we had one case where an attorney was smart and said, okay, no, I don't call this fine. This is a special assessment. You know, I mean, they're very inventive sometimes, and sometimes I think they failed to take reading 101 in school.
Well, I think that the Virginia Supreme Court was onto them because they said in the Gilman case that neither can a fine be disguised. And so, you know, they came up with a whole list of things that fines could not be disguised as. A fine is a fine is a fine. It doesn't matter what you call it. It arose by any other name. But, Jan, let us say that you pay your assessment, and for some reason the association decides they're going to play games with you, they're going to hide the check, they're going to add a late fee or something, and then when your next check comes, it's not enough to cover the entire bill, and so they don't cash it, and then now you are in arrears. I mean, there are ways around this. What can be done to prevent the associations and these horrible attorneys from doing things like that? Board members, managers, attorneys, I mean, these are the games they play all the time. You know that.
It's a daily occurrence, and we see it daily, and you know, we have argued that since a long time, but you see, between knowing it and getting a legislator to do something about it, that's a big difference. And we will, and the governor in one of his veto messages even said so, that there should be suggestions coming for next year's session, because he even admits that quite a lot of the provisions dealing with associations are not really doing something good for the reputation of Florida as a retirement state.
Wouldn't it be nice if people said, gee whiz, this isn't doing the reputation of associations a whole lot of good. Let's stop playing these games here. But they don't seem to do that. They're predatory. They come in and they'll grab whatever they can get and go with it.
Yeah, but you have to understand, Shu. The problem you have is that many of the competent people who live in these associations don't really want to bother with running the association. So you very often find people who think running an association is like organizing the potluck dinner. So they don't have the necessary knowledge to take care of the business at hand, so they rely on managers and attorneys who, on the other hand, have a financial interest making as much money as possible for as little work as possible. And here you have the problem, because these board members are only too happy to hand the whole problem to these so-called professionals and wash their hands and say, oh, yeah, but I'm the nice guy and I'm the president, which gives me some social standing here among my peers. And that's just it. And here comes the problem. And, I mean, you know, we always say even the best association is only one election away from dictatorship. And that is actually true. It depends on the people who are running the show.
But, you know, if you have decent people, generally speaking, the managers don't really want them there because they can't control those people.
Yeah, but
they can't manipulate those people. It's, you know, it's the managers who look for the people in the association that they think they can manipulate the best. They don't want to do their jobs. They don't want to be... they don't want anyone providing the adult supervision that's necessary. They don't want anyone asking questions. They just want these dum-dums sitting there going, oh, well, you see, you're the manager, you're the professional, we just have to defer to you, and away we go.
Right, I can't name names, but there's even a management company who put their own board members in place, board members who don't even live in this association.
You know, there was some talk at some point, and I'm not sure where this is going to go, and I hope it doesn't go anywhere, but there was some talk at some point of hiring professional board members to make decisions on how you live in your own home. What do you think of that one?
I think it's ridiculous, and I think then it's really time to dissolve the whole stuff.
Oh, I agree with you.
But I'm in the moment actually talking about a management company during the election, cheating in the election, and putting board members on there who actually shouldn't be on the board, who are not even part of the association, just so the board can make the decision. See, don't forget, most of the people don't know who lives in the condominium. If you have these big condominiums, barely people know their neighbors.
Well, you know, quite often they don't even know the name of the board members, which absolutely
right.
fascinates me, because they call me up and I say, well, you know, contact your board and find out what's going on. You know, they say, I went to the management company. Oh, I don't know who the board members are. What do you mean you don't know who the board members are? It's a big secret. They don't want to be known. Come on, guys.
Yeah, well, you want a real funny story? We had in Miami, the condo owners were sick and tired of the guy who ran around as president since 12 years and said, I'm the president and I'm doing whatever I want. So Florida has recall provisions, so they officially recalled him.
Uh-huh.
Guess what?
He wasn't the president?
He wasn't even on the board. and the board members were not even, the official board members were not even part of the condominium.
Jeez.
I mean, come on, give me a break here. You know, I mean, actually the arbitrator should have thrown out officially the recall, because they recalled somebody who wasn't even, you couldn't even recall, you know. So, but it's kind of funny, actually.
And was the board a secret board? I mean, obviously, if they didn't know who the board members were.
Right, but what they found out then through arbitration, through investigation and so on, and the arbitrator finally decided to kick out the board and put these actual unit owners in on the board, but you know, the circumstances were, you know, like a comedy.
It sounds ridiculous. It really and truly sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, but that happens if the people...
All the time,
and it happens if the agency, which is supposed to regulate, doesn't do the job.
It happens.
They write these people a warning letter, don't do that again.
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept is so ridiculous, and what's going on is so ridiculous, and what Americans have to put up with is so absolutely absurd.
I mean, I know you might not want to hear it, but I sometimes blame the American people themselves.
So do I.
For not standing up for their rights.
I agree with you.
You know, in a democracy doesn't mean everybody gets served on a golden platter. It means as well that you have to do something to keep your rights and to fight for them. And if something is not going right, you have to take an hour or two or three, you know, to remedy the situation, you know, and not sit on the TV chair and say, oh, there are others who will do the job. You know, sorry. Sometimes then I can't feel sorry for them when they're suddenly facing a special assessment.
I agree with you. I have said that many times over here. I 100% agree with you, Jan. You know, they're your rights, guys. If you're not willing to protect them, then you're going to lose them. It's that simple.
I mean, you know the problem we are facing here in Florida with the insurance. You know, I have seen insurance bills going up 500, 600, 700%. You know, for condo and homeowners insurance?
Yeah.
These people really can't pay it anymore, especially, you know, in the older communities where you have many people on Social Security. You know, for them, a $5,000 special assessment, that's out of their reach. I have here old ladies calling, crying on the phone, you know, if I have to pay this, I can't pay anymore for my prescription drugs, and I can't buy any food anymore because my whole wealth, my whole Social Security check goes for paying this insurance premium. This is just not possible.
Is there anything that can be done for this?
Well, see, the people have to do a little bit themselves. You know, I tell you one, you know I'm European and I see the thing a little bit different. You know, if this would happen in Europe, and you saw it during World Cup soccer on the fan miles, you had hundreds of thousands of people on the street. In this case, they would rally ask the government to do something. Here, more 20 people come out and say, oh, yeah, really, we're unhappy about this insurance policy. You know, hey, people, don't do that. Say loud and clear. Make the media aware. Put together a big rally on the street. Put 20,000 condo owners on the street in Fort Lauderdale, for example. It's easy done. That's possibly 10% of the whole condo population there. You know, do something. That will get attention, and that will create the necessary changes. You know, I talked to one group of homeowners who put together a lot of money. They collected money from everybody, and, well, they want to spend $40,000 on a presentation to the legislators.
$40,000?
Yeah. Okay, well, these presentations cost a lot of money, believe me. You know, if you hire these firms.
Okay.
But there were 3,500 people collecting this money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put these 3,500 people on the street, and with their kids and with their spouses and whoever.
And their neighbors and their dogs.
And wave some signs. You will have every TV crew in 100 miles surrounding on the scene. You have the newspapers full. And believe me, legislators will pay attention in that moment. If you give them another PowerPoint presentation they're used to, they fall asleep over watching it. You know, that's the fact. And people have to understand that.
Well, you know, I was talking to Tom DeWeese the other day, and he said that there was an attempt to do something with some land in one of the Carolinas, North Carolina or something, and they had this hearing, and he said 100 people showed up.
Yeah, that was it.
100 people showed up, and they put a stop to it. So you don't really need 3,500 people. You need people to get off their behinds, and you need people to go to some of these events and speak. But before you open your mouths, folks, understand what you're talking about, because sometimes I listen to so-called advocates, and I listen to what they want, and, you know, they're playing right into the hands of the industry because they don't really understand the consequences of what's going to happen with this. You know, do your homework and then hit the road. You know, take to the streets. And
right, but you know as well, if you make once a big rally, you know, see what happened with the immigration bill.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
The illegal immigrants demonstrated on the streets. You know, here in Florida, they hoisted all kinds of foreign flags, you know, pulled down the American flag, hoisted up Mexican flags and everything. But everybody paid attention. The newspapers were full. The legislators paid attention. You know, then after it, you can talk. You know, you can sit down with them after you got their attention.
Yeah, grab their attention first. We're talking to Jan Bergman. He's president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. And Florida has been very busy. Do you have any other bills that, I mean, what else is in the pipeline, Jan?
Well, we will see in the next session a new leadership here in Florida, and we hope we will be more successful. So we will actually file a very comprehensive HOA bill, which will more or less rewrite the existing statutes, which will make it more homeowner-friendly, which we will clarify a lot of the problems for people easier to understand. We want proper election laws. You know, we already had a banana republic election. Florida is famous for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need them daily in homeowners association, because there is nothing written down really which regulates how an election is run in an association. And we sure want enforcement, education, and accountability of the people in charge. You know, it can't be that the people embezzle money, waste money knowingly, and get away with it.
And you know what you're going to run into, obviously, because you're going to have the industry say, oh, well, you can't hold these board members accountable. Nobody will run for the board.
Please don't.
I mean, how absolutely absurd to even defend that kind of behavior.
I mean, I can tell you one thing. You always hear, you know, we had term limits proposed, but term limits for officers and term limits for board members, everything. And here came the attorneys, oh, no, you will have nobody anymore volunteering.
I know, isn't it terrible?
Like that. Oh. Okay. You know, I just saw the report written by Virgil Rizzo's number one election monitor. He made statistics. He was a former, that was kind of his job before he retired. And, you know, they always claim there are anyway not enough volunteers.
Yeah.
His statistics of the elections he ran, and I think there were 100 and some in last year alone, funny enough, there were always minimum two for each open position, two candidates.
Oh, really?
Sometimes even more.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you had contested elections.
Oh, yeah. He said in one case there were 5 open seats and 17 candidates. So please don't tell me there are no volunteers available.
Oh, I agree with you. I think people volunteer, and I think you sent out something. Someone sent me something that talked about volunteers, and they said that, you know, board members are sitting there going, you know, we're volunteers, we're sitting here on the board, nobody shows up for the meetings. And the manager said, well, you know, when people came and want, you know, offered to volunteer for certain positions, you turned them away. And they do that. They don't, you know, they're unable, incompetent's not the right word, but they just cannot seem to handle the job. They're not able to allocate and empower volunteers to do anything, so people get frustrated. And what's left is just these board members talking to themselves.
Well, and in a way, they want that.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, don't forget, when we had, during the HOA task force, we listened to testimony from homeowners, and, you know, when we removed liens and foreclosures for fines, one of the reasons, these board members ran around with the ballots from door to door, told the people, you sign here and vote for me, and if you don't, you have tomorrow a fine notice in your mailbox.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. That is a fact, and it happened, and I have heard it often and often again.
So they were being threatened, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, we have more and more reporters willing to talk about it, right?
Yes.
And I get 3, 4, 5 times a week calls from reporters, can you help me with this and that story? I'm gladly doing that.
Yes.
My problem, the people who complain all the time don't want to be named.
Yeah.
Because they say, and, you know, in many cases I understand, you know, many of them are elderly ladies. And they say, you know, if I would even dare to say a word, the board president would be all over me. You know, I get emails here, I can't tell you my name, but this is my problem.
Yeah.
So, and please don't tell my board president that I contacted you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get that as well.
You know, we had more freedom in East Germany under the communist regime.
Yeah. Oh, this is something that absolutely... Jan, we're running out of time, but before we go, I just wanted to ask you very quickly, there's some more hearings being conducted in Florida now?
No, we will have some town hall meetings in regards to the dissolution bill, which the governor vetoed, because he wants to hear from the people how they feel about dissolution of existing condos. So far, not a lot is being done, because don't forget, it's election year. Everybody and then some is running around trying to be elected, and I'm actually trying to tell our condo and homeowners it is important to be part of this election, because the people you elect are the people we deal with next year in Tallahassee.
That's true.
So vote for somebody who is willing minimum to listen and have an open ear for you, and not the guys who are promising you the world and then don't know you anymore as soon as they're elected in office. I say we have enough of these. We don't need them anymore.
Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll come back. You're always welcome on the Commons.
Thank you. It was fun being with you, too.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.